This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Dave Mistich. The coronavirus pandemic has kept many people who would otherwise gather away from one another, including a group that takes part in shape note singing.
One of the beautiful things about shape note singing is that it has a capacity to hold like the full range of human emotion.
A story on shape note singing and more on this West Virginia Morning. When it comes to the coronavirus in West Virginia, all eyes in recent days have turned to Morgantown in Monongalia County. The area is seeing a sharp increase in the number of new cases, driven mostly by the area's younger population. Given the rise in cases, Governor Jim Justice says he is considering closing bars and indoor dining in the county, possibly to prevent another statewide shutdown. I spoke with Dr. Diane Gross, the regional epidemiologist at the Monongalia County Health Department, about this new spike in cases, how the community has been reacting, and what we can all do to help public health officials get a handle on the virus. Here's part of that conversation.
Well, I think we've seen in the past 11, 12 days since the beginning of July, a significant increase in cases. If we look before July 1st, we had a total of 162 cases since March in the county. That's confirmed cases. As of the 11th, just for July, we had 351. So that is a huge increase. We used to average about 40 cases a month, and now we're having about 30 cases a day in the county. One of the big things we're seeing is that our the people who are becoming infected, the age distribution has changed. If we look before July 1st, about 45% of our people were 50 years or older, and about 30% of the cases were people in their 18 to 29-year-olds. Now that's changed. In July, we have 75% of our cases in the 18 to 29-year-old age group, and only 5% in the over 50s. So early in the infection in Monongalia County, the early outbreak was driven by, particularly by people in nursing homes, because we had a large outbreak, and that's where all five of our deaths have occurred. Since that time, we've seen the COVID spread out into the community, and particularly since the beginning of July, really spread in the community. And as I said, it's in this particular, in this young age group. But one thing I think is that this age group is very mobile. We find cases work multiple jobs. They also are going out in the community and doing different activities, including going to bars. So while we have a big outbreak associated with bars, these people also work multiple jobs. So we can't just say it's one location, but because this is in a very mobile group, then it has the chance to spread to multiple different groups of people, multiple different ages, in different populations, different workplaces.
There were two free testing events in Morgantown this weekend. Given the rise in the number of cases, you know, in the past week, 10, 12 days, are we expecting another jump in the number of confirmed cases?
I do think so, because remember, it while most people who become infected, if they're going to get sick, do it in the first week and can take up to 2 weeks. And so I think now we're seeing the rise from potentially the 4th of July activities and that holiday. But since then, this is summer, people are moving around. We are seeing people are now more concerned, so more are being tested. You know, we had approximately 3,000 people tested just in Monongalia County test sites over the weekend. We had test sites in other counties, in Kingwood, and places. So, yeah, I think we are going to see more cases show up.
I'm also curious, you know, the governor has threatened to close bars and indoor dining here in Monongalia County. He says that, you know, if new testing data shows, you know, a continued rise in cases, he may do that. I also want to point out, you know, many of these kinds of businesses, especially in downtown Morgantown, have been proactive in either closing or limiting services. I guess, what's your recommendation or thoughts on all this, you know, for business owners and for members of the public?
I mean, I think some businesses, it's harder to have social distancing and for people to adhere to the guidelines just by the nature of the business. I think, for instance, restaurants that have access to move their patrons outside, I think that some restaurants have that easier access or already had that access, and that is one of the recommendations. And so I think that we are having a lot of businesses now reach out to us to both be proactive or if they've had an employee that has been identified as positive, and I think a lot of businesses are being proactive. I do recommend that all business owners, if they haven't really thought heavily about what they're going to do, if they have one of their employees as a case or a patron of their business has a case, you know, what are the next steps, and to plan ahead and be ready for that if and when it happens.
I know that a lot of Morgantown area residents are very worried about students coming back to WVU's campus in about a month, let alone public schools resuming in-person classes in early September, as per the governor's announcement this past week. My question is there time to turn the situation around here in Morgantown and Mon County to make sure that the kids going back to school, be it college or public and private school, is safe?
We have been, at the Montague Area County Health Department, have been working closely with West Virginia University to help them plan for what they will do to help mitigate and control COVID. Certainly, we have worked with them. They have a plan in place to test all students and staff in the next month till school starts. That's, you know, roughly expecting that's 35,000 people being tested over that time period. They have a lot of plans in place on how to try and mitigate risk to students, be it with online or hybrid, or how they're going to hold in-person classes. I believe there's a mix of those going on. So I think that we do have time, especially for the county schools going back, to try and mitigate this. But it does require people to adhere to the recommendations, to the guidelines, to wear masks, to social distance, to not have large gatherings. So it's important in the community to realize if you've been identified as a case, stay home and isolate until the health department contacts you. If you get a phone call from the health department, pick it up. Talk to us. Let us know who your contacts are. Cooperate with the investigation so we can stop this from spreading forward. The same with contacts. We have, with in this day and age where people scan their phones, the screen before picking up, if you see a call from the health department or you have a message from the health department that we're trying to reach you, please call back so that we can work with you to determine if you are a close contact and need to be in quarantine for 14 days. So, I think as a community, it's very important that we all participate in this activity and work together, or we're not going to be able to get it under control.
That was Dr. Diane Gross, the regional epidemiologist from the Monongalia County Health Department. Have you ever heard of shape note singing? It's a sacred 300-year singing practice that has deep roots in Appalachia in the American South. Popular first in 18th and 19th century New England, shape note singing relies on a group of people, basically what we're told we shouldn't be doing right now during this pandemic. In the latest episode of Inside Appalachia, Folkways reporter Kelly Libby looks at how singers are adapting their tradition.
Harmony is a defining feature of shape note singing, which is also called sacred harp. Not because harps are played, but because in this tradition, the voice is a musical instrument. This is from an all-day singing convention, an annual event with a potluck dinner, in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, which I first reported on in 2012.
The vocal style is unadorned and unpolished. The harmonic qualities of the music are striking. There's a lot of resonant chords that sound old.
Chris Wolf is a school teacher and Sacred Harp singer from Czech, Virginia.
You really see people shouting with joy and in the full experience of their grief and in the joy of being together in community. The tradition is like a sturdy enough structure that we can actually let go for a second and let our inner experience happen.
Shape note singing is not performance. Under normal circumstances, singers only sing for each other. That's apparent in the setup of the room. Singers stand in a square facing each other. And if you're in that square, you feel the music.
One of the beautiful things about shape note singing is that it has a capacity to hold like the full range of human emotion. Great joy and despair, grief and ecstasy, longing and belonging. And it's often a balm in trying times. So it feels especially cruel that we can't sing together now.
They can't sing together now because of the coronavirus pandemic. They're practicing social distancing. When you're trying to prevent the spread of a disease like COVID-19, singing with a large group of people in an enclosed room is the exact wrong thing you can do.
So there's this acknowledgement that, yeah, that's what we have to do, but it really hurts.
Tim Morton is a documentary filmmaker and singer from Louisville, Kentucky. As someone who's practiced Sacred Harp for more than a decade, not singing was not an option. So Tim and his friends formed a virtual shape note singing. They invited anyone who practices Sacred Harp to individually record themselves singing the harmony part of a designated tune and to submit it to him by email.
Hi guys.
Tim combined the parts, which together approximate a kind of chorus, and uploaded the finished product to YouTube.
Hello.
The singer seemed timid and a little stiff.
All right, Rachel called 146.
But just like in real life, they start by singing the notes. Fa, sol, la, and mi. Says more than 150 people from 28 states and 13 countries, including singers from Appalachia, submitted videos of themselves singing harmony parts on this popular tune called Hallelujah. The words were written in 1759.
It says, "And let this feeble body fail, and let it faint or die. My soul shall quit this mournful veil and soar to worlds on high." This is where it really hits home, I feel like, is give joy or grief, give ease or pain, take life or friends away, but let me find them all again in that eternal day. And the chorus is, and I'll sing hallelujah, and you'll sing hallelujah, and we'll all sing hallelujah when we arrive at home.
The video has gone viral with more than 32,000 views. Tim says he never expected it to resonate with so many people.
Some of the like YouTube responses was like, I'm weeping, and I mean, even it actually, it kind of, excuse me, it's just, I can easily get choked up at times, but I think that the responses that I was getting were a big surprise to me, honestly. I felt like the experience that people had by watching it seemed under these circumstances, something that really people were needing at that moment.
That was Tim Morton talking about how the community of shape note singers have adapted during the pandemic. It was reported by Kelly Libby, who is part of the Inside Appalachia Folkways Project. You can hear the rest of Kelly's story on the latest episode of Inside Appalachia. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. I'm your host and producer this morning, Dave Mistich. Thanks for listening.